Thank you. So I obviously think it's tomorrow already, but I'm Nikki Walker, and good afternoon to everybody. So what I'm specifically going to be talking about are more examples of the way that we in the National Center for Environmental Health, which is where I'm located in CDC, have used to promote health literacy to get some information across, and also some of the ways that the Surgeon General's call to action to promote healthy homes promotes health literacy. So at CDC and NCDH right now, we're promoting health literacy on multiple fronts, one of those being materials development, and again, specifically, I'll be talking about the National Center for Environmental Health, education and training for grantees and community partners. This is where CDC has a whole health literacy website that's got trainings that we really encourage our partners to take, and then also policy initiatives that come out of the Surgeon General's call to action in 2009. So here's some examples of some of the written materials and fact sheets that we've developed for lead poisoning. A lot of our a lot of the materials that we have are just things that were really for policymakers or researchers, or it was on the web. And so we really wanted to make sure that, and we also heard from a lot of our grantees and partners that they needed materials that were easy to read, written in a language for their the people they serve to understand. So to the far right, the lead poisoning, know the facts. We made a series of three fact sheets. This is the front and back of this one specifically. We also made one on, it's called case management, but really if a child already has an elevated blood lead level, that's a, you know, lead poisoning, then what do they need to do? And then also one for pregnant women. We found out from our grantees kind of interviewing them, those are the three areas they wanted to focus on. We also tested these in focus groups and got feedback and developed this little series of fact sheets. Over to the far left, the Make Your Home Safe from Lead Dust, we also have an influx of the refugee population that we are noticing that are becoming exposed to lead poisoning, and because of some of the nutritional deficits of that population, they're getting lead poisoning easier, kind of super absorbers, if you will, from lead poisoning. And so we wanted to make materials that were easy to understand and be able to be accessed by that population, specifically because we know part of that population, if they speak their native language, may not be able to read their native language. So we wanted to do more pictorials and examples of what to do in your home, and so that's some on the left. And then the final piece that we worked on in this suite of lead poisoning is this lead poisoning words to know from A to Z. And I have one copy here I completely forgot to bring, which you can go to the CDC booth, and they let me have it. They told me to bring it back right after I came back. It says booth copy. But we have some of these that that we can also send out if you want to get my contact information later. All these materials are actually on our website as well, which I can give to you later. But the lead poisoning words to know, we're very happy to say, was the 2011 Clearmark Award winner for Best Public Materials Health Literacy Award. So, and basically what it is when you open it up, it's actually like a dictionary of how to like explain like duct tape, what that means, how would you would use it in context. And so it's for maybe the person that actually for a population that's served by public health professionals, but it's also a way for public health professionals to be able to talk and communicate plainly to their population. Another big initiative that we're doing within the National Center for Environmental Health is a new public consumer website called healthyhomes.gov, which we hope to launch in the spring of 2012. This is, this kind of comes out and stems from the Surgeon General's call to action, which I'll speak on a little bit later again. But this is a cross-agency collaboration with HHS, Department of Health and Human Services, which has the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the National Institutes of Health, and the National Library of Medicine, along with HUD, which is the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, the Environmental Protection Agency, the Department of Energy, and USDA. So you can imagine a cross-agency collaborative website with all these five departments and agencies. It's been a big task, but it's been a joint effort that everyone's really pitched in and very excited about. It's focused on the consumer, and we're following the health literacy online, the way to design and write easy-to-use health websites. And we are heavily focused on formative research and user-centered design in this process. So this is an example of the picture so far. It's going through different things of prototype and usability, but the entire makeup of this site is based on user feedback and from focus groups. One of the big things is making it personalized for the user. And so one thing that we have right here on the far left, bottom left corner, you see the Create Your Personal Checklist. A person will be able to go on there, answer certain things about themselves. I have a 2-year-old, I'm pregnant, I own my home, we have a pool, and, you know, a swimming pool in our backyard. And so based on some of those things, it's going to create a kind of a high-level checklist for you to be able to do some things in your home to prevent any safety or health hazards. Also finding local resources and other things. So the goals of healthyhomes.gov are to increase awareness of healthy homes. There is a big disconnect we found in our focus groups between, you know, the health of your home and the health of your body. And so really trying to make that connection initially that, you know, if you have a home that's safe and healthy, that impacts your health. Also doing this to promote health literacy, making sure that we do everything with plain language in mind, a focus on prevention, and also translating research into action, making sure there's specific calls to action with everything that we provide to the consumer. So as I said, we've done focus groups. We did initial focus groups. We also did some in-depth interviews. We did those with our grantees out in the field. This would be HUD grantees, EPA grantees, and CDC grantees. And they all told us that the one thing they do not do is send any of their any of the people they serve to government websites. So that kind of gave a case for why we really need to kind of make a good user-centered design website. Also, we did in-depth interviews with some of our key nonprofit partners, the American Lung Association, American Academy of Pediatrics, National Center for Healthy Housing, to also get some of their feedback as well. Following along the user-centered design process, we did card sorting exercises. We've already finished our first prototype evaluation of the site, and in December, we will do our first usability testing on the site. And so with some of the focus groups, we developed different personas of kind of the different people that we may see coming to the site. And so this is one example of Laura, 28 years old. She has 2 children. She rents an apartment. And so just kind of different things like, I need to know what my rights are. I had an issue with a leak. And these are taken directly from the focus groups. You know, she had a landlord issue. She complained about it. It took 6 months to resolve. So one of the things that we'll have on the side are, if you know, renting your home versus owning your home. Both of the people in the focus group, especially the renters, saw a clear connection between, you know, thinking that healthy homes wasn't about them. It was about homeowners. And so we really want to make sure that, you know, we're including everybody in our site. So here's one example of user feedback talking about this really gets to the personalization of the website, the checklist. Also, I don't know if you remember, but we can go back a little bit later, but on the little far right bottom corner, it had a map, finding local resources. Initially, those most likely will be state, but as the site grows, we really hope to be able to drill down to the city and county level of being able to provide people resources for healthy homes issues. And as I said, CDC is heavily involved in health literacy. Speaking of grantees, training and training for public health professionals, CDC.gov health literacy, they provide trainings. There's resource materials for research and evaluation. They have health literacy activities by state and also a health literacy blog. And so we really encourage a lot of, at least in the National Center for Environmental Health, encourage all of our public health partners to take these trainings. And so there's what the actual site looks like, but it's not that fuzzy. So it looks much nicer when you click on it. But as I said, it's a web-based training for CDC employees and health professionals. And then finally, the policy initiatives. What really has driven the healthyhomes.gov website is really coming out of 2 things, the Surgeon General's call to action to promote healthy homes, which came out in 2009, and also the Department of Housing and Urban Development's strategic plan. And both of those focus on, you know, connecting health and housing. And specifically in the Surgeon General's call to action, goal number 2 talks about increasing public awareness of healthy homes and promoting health literacy. And so it's specifically called out in there, and I think that's you know, really great for in the Surgeon General's call to action. Of the 4 goals, one of them is specifically focused on health literacy and being able to make the connection between the health of your house and the health of the person. And so we hope, that with the call to action, it further promotes ways that we can do different policy initiatives and products as we move forward. So that's it.